Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here, and we're going to begin our program today by talking with you about sturgeon, those prehistoric-looking fish. Maybe they are prehistoric almost. Mary Hollenbach of the River Edge Nature Center in Newburgh, Wisconsin, one of our guests today by phone. The other by phone, Brad Eggold, who is with the DNR in Milwaukee. They and other groups are cooperating on a project to reestablish Lake Sturgeon in the Milwaukee River. And Sturgeon Fest is going to take place this Saturday, October 2nd, at the Thiensville Village Park. So it's great to have them along to talk about the Sturgeon Fest, but also to talk about the sturgeon and what we're doing and why we're doing it. Why are we trying to bring them back to the Milwaukee River? You can join in with your own questions at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Mary Hollenbach, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, Brad Ego, thank you so much, too.
No problem.
Why are we bringing the sturgeon back to the Milwaukee River?
Well, they've been gone a long time. I guess the last recorded information about the sturgeon being in the river was something like 1890 was the last time anyone saw one. So it seems like it's only fitting to bring them back if we can.
Yeah, absolutely. What is it about sturgeon that, and Brad, maybe you can talk about this a little bit. What, a lot of people are really intrigued by this fish. Why?
I think for a couple of reasons. It looks a lot different than, say, your normal bony fish. They're all have cartilage instead of bone. They look kind of prehistoric. They were around, 100 million years ago. So they look a little different than other fish. And so I think there's kind of a love affair with the sturgeon in Wisconsin. We have the largest lake sturgeon population in the Winnebago system, and a lot of people, a lot of clubs up in that area really have taken ownership of this fish. And I think secondly, probably because it's long-lived. These fish can be 80, 100 years old, so literally they can be older than you and I still swimming out there in Lake Winnebago. So it's kind of an interesting fish, and I think that's why people like them.
Yeah, and also they're big. The biggest fish we have, I believe.
It is the biggest fish we have in Wisconsin, and they just had a spearing season on Winnebago in February, and they broke the record of some 200-pound sturgeon up there.
That's amazing. Why did the sturgeon? Why did they leave in the first place, or why were there no more sturgeon in the Milwaukee River? Was it mostly pollution, or what?
There's a lot of different things that contributed to their decline and eventual extirpation from the river. The dams, when they put in dams all along the way, prevented them from getting up the river to spawn. Overfishing was another thing. Can you think of some other things, Jeff?
I think those are two of the primary problems. Once they kind of caught on as a fish, both for their flesh and for other uses, overfishing and then dams where they couldn't get their historical spawning grounds were the two main reasons.
Yeah. What's the status with dams or the lack thereof now on the Milwaukee River?
Well, we're slowly working on that. We've had a couple of removals of dams on the Milwaukee River. We're right now in the process of dedicating a fishway around the Thiensville Dam. And so we're making some progress working with different municipalities for hopefully getting fishways around some of these dams so we can get the fish back up through most of the Milwaukee River.
Yeah. And why? And that's where they go to spawn, I assume.
That's correct.
But on the spawning, the more river you can give them access to where the sturgeon can find out where they want to spawn, the likelier you will have a successful reproduction going on.
Talk to me a little bit about the Milwaukee River Streamside Rearing Facility where you grow lake sturgeon.
Well, it's kind of a unique facility. There's only two of them right now in the state of Wisconsin, and the facility we've had there since 2006. was built by Northern Environmental, and it was kind of modeled after several of these streamside rearing facilities they had in Upper Michigan. But we have the capacity to raise anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 fish in that that facility every year, and have been quite successful over the last 5 years.
Yeah, and are you seeing results? I assume there's some netting going on, or at least checking to see what we have from those earlier releases.
Well, the as I said before, these sturgeon are really long-lived, so they don't reach maturity.
Right.
The males, we're talking 15, 18 years, and the females, you know, upper 20s. So they'll be out in Lake Michigan cruising around. It could be anywhere in the Great Lakes. The hope is that when they're sexually mature, they'll return to the Milwaukee River. So we've seen a couple, I think about four or five instances where we know fish that were stocked up there in the Milwaukee River have been seen out in the lake either in assessments or people have caught them. We just had a fish caught in the Summerfest Lagoon right in downtown Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago that definitely came from a stock in the Milwaukee River.
Very cool. Well, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in, too. You can ask your question by calling us at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. Now, let's take a call. Richard in Loganville, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Richard. Thank you for calling.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
Well, my wife works with the sturgeon in northern Idaho, did her thesis, and has been working in her own business there for a long time. And I'm sure she would have questions. I called in basically to get Mary and Brad's number, and I wanted to say they are an unbelievable species. They actually have a 40-inch sturgeon in northern Idaho that's completely white. They've had it since the 70s. It's kind of an oddity. And I was just curious about the fish ladders they proposed as well, and just kind of wanted to get more information about the whole thing.
Sure. All right.
Well, it's exciting that they have a fish that's considered an albino that's 40-some years old. It, you know, that's really something. And we know they do live, you know, 80 to 120 years, so, you know, that fish could be around for quite a while yet.
Oh, yeah.
What about the what about the system that you have for getting the sturgeon around some of these dams? How are they structured?
Well, right now, the fish, there's a couple of dams in the lower part of the Milwaukee River that seasonally basically aren't there because the water is high enough. The real big first impediment on the Milwaukee River is the dam at Thiensville. So we have just getting going and finishing up a fishway around that. So it's essentially a side channel stream that's next to the dam with very shallow slope. The water dumps in just below the face of the dam. The fish will sense this water and work their way up this fish ladder around the Thiensville Dam. And that's at about river mile 20 or so on the river.
All right. And to get it, to contact Richard's looking for some contact information, and Mary, I imagine River Edge Nature Center, your website, has got the information there?
Yes, it does. That website is riveredge.us. That's it.
Riveredge.us?
Right.
And River Edge, obviously, is just one word.
Right.
And Brad, for you?
Well, there's our primary Wisconsin DNR website is dnr.wi.gov. You'll have to like hit a couple of phishing links on there to get to our Lake Michigan page where we have some of the sturgeon information.
All right. There you have it, Richard. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much.
Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org as we talk about the return of the sturgeon to the Milwaukee River. And let's turn our attention a bit to that sturgeon festival, or sturgeon fest, I guess it's called, and quite a few individuals and groups working on this.
That's correct. It actually will occur this Saturday, October 2nd, and it will be at the Thiensville Dam, because that gives the fish a fair chance to get out to the lake in a couple of weeks. And it starts at 10 o'clock, although you don't need to be there right at 10, but the festivities go on from 10 until 2, and we'll have kind of a welcome and a blessing by the Forest County Potawatomi are coming in to do a blessing for the fish, and then we'll also start releasing fish about 11:30. And then the rest of the afternoon is all kinds of food and fun activities for adults and kids.
And how many are you releasing?
Well, right now we have 1,012. Yes.
1,012. Okay.
I think Larry, the real interesting part about this whole affair is probably how we release these fish. They're very hardy fish to deal with. That's one of the reasons we've had pretty good success at the trailer. So we're actually going to basically dole out the fish one or two at a time in the individual buckets so people can actually stock the fish themselves in the river. And it's a real neat experience. See a lot of kids really get excited about the fish. And even parents that come down there have never seen a sturgeon. And they're, like I said, they're quite cute little guys at this size. So it creates a lot of good interest for the fish.
Yeah, and can make a little money toward the whole process here, too. Is there a little charge for releasing your own sturgeon?
Exactly. We're not exactly selling the fish. It's just for the kind of thrill of releasing one. It's just $5 per fish.
All right. So, well, that'd be if you could have somebody, individuals released, there'd be another $5,000. Where does that money go then?
Well, it helps to run this whole program. You know, we do have a few grants that help to subsidize it, but it costs money to run something like this. We have volunteers, you know, almost 30 of them that help with the day-to-day operations, but, you know, the electricity and, you know, food and all that costs money, too. So this money that's raised at this event will help support this whole program.
Do we know how much does it cost to raise one sturgeon, or what are our kind of our overall costs on it?
That's a tough question, Larry. We never really broken it down by, you know, cost. You got, you know, what does it cost for supplies and electricity, and what does it cost for staff time? But it's relatively expensive just because these fish are in this sturgeon trailer. It has to have a pretty good attention on a daily basis to raise the fish, but in the end, you know, we're trying to restore a native species back to not only Milwaukee River, but Lake Michigan, where you had tens of thousands of sturgeon out there and probably have only a couple thousand now. So we're really trying to rebuild the population in Lake Michigan and ultimately coming back to Milwaukee River. So well worth the effort.
Yeah, and it's not like they're going to be out there a couple of years and then die. I mean, they're going to be around for after we're dead.
Yeah, certainly hope so.
Yeah, definitely. One of the lot of the work that was pivotal to get us started is on Winnebago system, and they're talking about average mortality from year to year once a fish gets to be 3 or 4 years is only like 5%. So they have very low mortality once they get to a certain size. There isn't anything that eats them. They just cruise around out there and find a lot of food on the bottom to eat. So yeah, you're right. Once the fish get past 1 or 2 years old. So if we have 500 that make it that far, likely those 500 are going to make it for many, many years.
Let's turn to Wayne in New Berlin next. Wayne, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
What can we do? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just heard him mention Thiensville Dam, and I told the guy that my dad used to own the mill that was right there. That's the mill race for the dam. And that's all I wanted to tell him.
Okay. So there was a mill there. And was that why a lot of the dams were built back in the day for things like that, I assume?
Certainly true, yes.
Yeah, and this was, as the guy mentioned there, it was in the old mill race that had become kind of a quagmire, had only been a couple of feet deep, and a lot of silt was in there. And so we basically used that area and turned it into this fishway to get around Thiensville Dam.
Oh, that's really good. Thanks again, Wayne, for calling. Our guests today, as we talk about the return of the sturgeon to the Milwaukee River, Mary Hollenbach of the River Edge Nature Center in Newburgh, Wisconsin, and Brad Eggold is with the Department of Natural Resources in Milwaukee. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about the return of the sturgeon with Mary Hollenbeck of the River Edge Nature Center, Brad Eggold of the Department of Natural Resources in Milwaukee. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. In general, maybe Brad, you can comment, or Mary, What is the status of the sturgeon overall here in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, in overall, in the Winnebago chain of lakes, it's very healthy. We've seen the population there grow since tighter restrictions were put in place on their spearing mostly. So in the last 30 or 40 years, the population there has grown up very well and probably the largest lake sturgeon population in North America. Out in the Great Lakes, we're gradually building up the population through efforts like this and through other efforts from other states. So their historic numbers, well below historic numbers right now in Lake Michigan, but like I said, through efforts like this, hopefully we'll bring them back up to much higher levels.
Yeah, let's hope so. I want to go back to the Sturgeon Fest. There are, in addition to handling the sturgeon, maybe releasing them, there are some activities too. There's some things for children and some exhibits, if I'm not mistaken.
Certainly true. The activities for kids are kind of based around sturgeon life history. They will have an activity where the kids get to try to suck up different kinds of fun food as sturgeon do. They'll be using a straw where a sturgeon would be using its sucker-like mouth. They also have an activity where the kids kind of simulate going over and up a dam or over a fish ladder. So there's some sturgeon-related activities for kids in addition to face painting and things on that order. And then we will also have some speakers and booths that have something to do with the whole topic of sturgeon or water quality or something on that order.
And, you know, Mary, we should talk a bit about the River Edge Nature Center, too. I should have asked you that right off the bat. I'm sure there are people that don't know about the center, so would you tell us about it?
Sure. Nature Center is located in Newburgh, which is halfway between Saukville and West Bend, right off of Highway 33. And it's been around for about 42 years now, so it's well established. We have about 380 acres, and we have land that goes along the Milwaukee River for about 2 miles, and that's one of the reasons that the sturgeon trailer is located there.
Let's turn to Jack and Shawno next. Jack, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I just like to let you all know there's an IMAX movie called, I believe, The Mysteries of the Lakes. And to a great extent, it features the effort of sturgeon restoration in the Wolf River, and specifically in Shawno, and there are half a dozen or so Shawno people watching a biologist retrieve one of the sturgeon from the wolf. I don't know where it's showing in the state, but I think it was something that people should hopefully try to find. It's a very good coverage of the sturgeon effort in the Wolf River area.
Oh, very good. Are you familiar with it, Brad or Mary?
Yes, we are. And in fact, in 2007, when we were up collecting the eggs for our project, we watched them do the filming for that movie. And then the movie itself came out in 2008 called Mysteries of the Great Lakes. And you're right, the star of the show is a sturgeon. And it's a very, very interesting movie. If you have a chance to see it, I would recommend it.
Yeah, in fact, when they were first filming this series for the Great Lakes, you know, they knew they wanted to come in and film sturgeon in the Winnebago system, and they gradually developed into a much bigger story surrounding the sturgeon, not only in the Winnebago system, but also the efforts for the Streamside Rearing Facility. So it really took center stage once the filmmakers got there and saw what an awesome fish this was.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234 with your own question or comment relating to sturgeon. As we look at the situation now, you mentioned dams is probably a threat to the lake sturgeon's existence, but pollution, what else plays a role?
Definitely the water quality. Most natural reproduction that goes on in Lake Michigan and tributaries has been severely altered by water quality, whether it's silt in a lot of cases or a lot higher temperatures. We don't see a lot of natural reproduction of Lake Michigan fish in our streams here in Wisconsin, especially on the Lake Michigan. There are some in Green Bay that drain into Green Bay, but a little bit different on the Michigan side where they have a little bit better stream quality. So certainly those definitely affected the sturgeon population back, 100 years ago, and continuing today, although in the Milwaukee River, there's been a tremendous effort the last 30 years by a lot of people, both in the DNR and outside the DNR, to improve water quality and get green corridors next to the rivers, all beneficial to fish.
And has it made a big difference?
We're seeing some pretty good improvements in stream water quality and temperature-related things, and a lot less silt load, and that's a big killer on fish eggs. So they're trying to get farmers and practices on how they're farming. We're trying to get easements along river corridors to reduce that silt load, which is a big problem for developing eggs, as you might imagine.
Yeah, that's for sure. So the process, and before we go back to the phones, the process that you folks go through, you actually collect the eggs somewhere else and bring them to the river, or bring them to the rearing facility. Is that correct?
Yeah, we go up in the Wolf River, and we're getting basically Wolf River strain of lake sturgeon. We'll go up there about third week of April, help collect the eggs, artificially spawn them on site there, and bring them right back to the trailer. So the day we spawn them, they're already in the trailer starting to incubate. And this process starts, like I said, third week of April, and it concludes with stocking here October 2nd. And this trailer really is unique. I don't believe there's another facility in the United States, and I don't know, maybe in the world, that has volunteers essentially running the day-to-day operations of the trailers. Mary said they have 3 to 4 volunteers that work in the trailer 7 days a week, 150 straight days, one heck of an effort by these guys to produce the size of fish we're going to get out here on Saturday. So I want a special thanks to all these guys that have worked, and ladies that have worked on this trailer, keeping these fish alive, growing them to the size that we have, which is a record size for us this year, well over 30 grams of fish. It's just been a great, great effort.
Now, describe that trailer a little more in detail. Is it a pretty big facility, or what's in it?
Well, it's an 8-foot by 20-foot, essentially, cargo trailer. Inside the trailer, there's 4 separate raceways. The raceways are 5 feet long, 2 feet wide, and they're about 20 inches in water depth. So we have 4 batches of sturgeon in this trailer, and we can raise about 1,000 to 1,500 of the size fish we have in there this year. So it's kind of like a little mini hatchery. We withdraw water out of the Milwaukee River. We run it through a couple of filters to clean it up a bit. Then we run it into the trailer all on gravity feed, and then the discharge goes back out to the Milwaukee River. And the real basic premise behind this is raise the fish on the Milwaukee River. They'll get imprinted to the scent of the Milwaukee River for them. And then when they mature in 25 years, in the case of the females, they'll home back to the Milwaukee River.
That is really cool. Steven Spoyd, let's go to you now. Hi, Steven.
Yes, my question is when will you start looking in the river to see whether there's a self-sustaining breeding population?
Well, we're probably, we just started really in mass in 05-06. So we probably won't really start looking for them, like maturing males, probably to 2020. The females are going to be another 10 years behind that, so we're talking 2030. Hopefully I'll be retired by then, but maybe on a volunteer crew at that point. But we'll probably first start with some electrofishing and some netting in the harbor and estuary, and possibly looking for them as they're making their spawning runs. The males will, go on a spawning run probably as early as 2020. It's going to be kind of lonely for them up there because I don't think there'll be any females for them, but we should still start seeing them at that point. So it's going to be, another 10 years out.
Very cool.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Steve, for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Now, the River Edge Nature Center is involved in this, the DNR. Do you have other cooperating units?
There are other partners. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is involved. We've also had support from the Michigan DNR, and, the Little River Band of Ottawa Indians have also been partners in this project. UW Stevens Point has done some research with this project, too.
What is the – you mentioned Michigan, and I'm wondering about the status of sturgeon in that state.
They're kind of in the same arena we're in. They have 2 of these trailers up on 2 streams up in the Green Bay, Badenoch area, where they're trying to do the same thing. They also have the original trailer, Little River Band of Ottawa Indians, on the Manistee River, where kind of this all started. And so they, so there's some efforts going on there. They also have a pretty big facility in the Black River, which kind of empties into Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, right, where they kind of come together up there. So they're in the same kind of boat we are as far as lower population numbers.
And would it be possible that Michigan sturgeon might wind up in Wisconsin and vice versa?
They definitely will be roaming around out there as adults throughout their entire lifetime. The hope is and the thought is from all the research about imprinting that because of the way we're raising these fish, they will go back to their streams on spawning, so we won't have any intermixing at the time of spawning, which is the critical time not to have that happen.
Oh, and why is that?
Well, there's different genetic strains of lake sturgeon. There's a pretty big effort on genetics in the last 20 years, whether it's sturgeon, walleye, northern pike, bass, to really look at what genetics work best in what areas of the state or Lake Michigan. So there's a couple of subpopulations of lake sturgeon beyond the Wolf River strain out there in Lake Michigan, and we want to make sure we don't have these sturgeon, you know, spawning with a different strain of sturgeon.
Okay, so the hybrid doesn't work so well in this kind of situation.
Well, I think it would work, but, you know, over time, you know, each individual sturgeon population has coexisted in their area for a specific purpose. We really don't know what genes those turn on or off as far as what river system they're in, so it's probably best not to introduce different genetics from what normally had been there.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, it sounds like you're having a great experience and a great success with the program. I'm thinking, how many years has it been now? 5 years?
Yes, this is our fifth year, and we started out slow. The first year, we raised and released only 27 fish into the Milwaukee River. However, we were also raising fish for the Manitowoc River the same year. So, you know, it was a slow year. The following year, you know, we bumped it up, you know, to about 150 fish, and then for the last couple of years, we've been releasing, well, in 2008, it was near 1,000, and then last year, we released over 2,000 fish. This year, they've deliberately bumped down the numbers so that our fish get bigger. So we are releasing exactly what they wanted, about 1,000 fish, just the end of this week.
Oh, that's great. Let's go back to Rick in Superior then. Rick, hello to you.
Yeah, hi. I got a question for you. You know, I'm from Superior. We got a pretty good population of sturgeon in the St. Louis River and that.
Yeah.
And they, in the spring, a lot of times, I see them jumping all over. Why do they jump all over the place?
That's a good question. A lot of people are just guessing at this, but some people think it's a form of communication. Others have thought that it had something to do with leaving pressure on their air bladders, and it could be, who knows what, maybe they're just happy to see you. I don't know. It's, you know, I'm sure there's a scientific explanation for it, but no one's quite sure.
I can tell you, I have a musky fishing on a little lake in northern Wisconsin, Barker Lake, and having a sturgeon and a pretty big one come out of the water and plop about 3 feet from the boat, it gets your attention.
It sure does. It'll wake up.
It's way off. If you've been napping, you're awake.
Of course, sir.
I've been out fishing in that, and I'll see 8-10 of them in 3-4 hours jumping.
Yeah.
In different areas, and then I mean they'll just be splashing all over the place.
Yeah.
And we've actually caught a few in the winter now. You know. Even just on perch fishing a few years ago, I caught one 49 inches.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What is the season on sturgeon? Obviously, there's length limits, and I know the spearing season is pretty short, but hook and line?
Yeah, the hook and line is can get kind of complicated because you got a lot of boundary waters involved, and it's primarily a hook and line fishery. Well, it is an entirely hook and line fishery outside of the Winnebago system where it's spearing in February. And it's, as you can imagine from previous answers, these are long-lived species, take a long time for sexual maturity. So very conservative regulations. if they're open, it's probably mostly in the month of September. The size limit's probably very high, in a lot of cases 60 inches. That's what it is on the Wisconsin-Michigan boundary waters. So it kind of varies by location. I would suggest you look at the Wisconsin regulations to find out exactly what they are in your area. And probably in more cases than not, it is not open to fishing.
Let's turn to Matthew in Madison next. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, everybody. I just want to say I think this is great. I love it. I've been up on the Turtle Flambeau Flowage on a canoe trip, just like your last caller said. They're jumping and thrashing around. They're like our freshwater whales, kind of. And I fly fish for trout and salmon. And if anybody gets up to Port Washington, down in the harbor there, there's a great statue of an old man and a sturgeon, and it's worth the trip alone. I just want to thank you guys for everything you're doing.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's been a fun project.
You know anything of the history of that statue up there, Mary or Brad?
Oh, I don't know anything about the statue itself, but Smith Brothers restaurant is in Port Washington and might have something to do with, you know, a connection to that. Again, Port Washington being a fishing town for, long time in the 1800s, earlier 1800s and into the 1900s, so I'm sure it has something to do with their fishing history.
Well, thanks again for that call and comment, and I fished the Turtle Flambeau Flowage, too, and that's another place where he's exactly right. You might see, in the course of a day, you might see 10, 15 sturgeon jumping, and it always seems that they're pretty good-sized ones that are doing the jumping. I don't know. Again, I wish we actually knew the answer to that. Let's go back to Sturgeon Fest again because I want to remind people about it. Give us the times and dates and what people are going to be able to see and experience.
Okay, again, the date is October 2nd. That's this coming Saturday, and it will take place at the Fiendsville Park, which is right where the Fiendsville Dam is. If the event goes from 10 to 2, 10 o'clock to about 11 o'clock, they'll have activities for kids and for adults, but then the actual welcoming ceremony and blessing by the Potawatomi, that'll take place between 11 and 11:30, and then the first fish will be formally released at that point, but then releasing will go on the rest of the day from 11:30 until 2, along with all the other activities, and of course food will be available that entire time too.
Excellent. Well, let's take another call here and go to Guy in Green Bay. Guy, hello. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a little question about the sturgeon in Shawano. I actually lived in Shawano for about 10 years. While the kids were little, we lived about three blocks from the dam on the Wolf River, so every year we'd make sure to go down and watch that event there at Shawano. If anybody's ever been thinking about that and hasn't done it, it is a pretty neat opportunity to see the sturgeon. Really impressive, and the kids always really, really like that, of course. You can really get a good look at what's going on with them. But I had a question about that dam. You know, of course, they spawn there on the Wolf River right by the dam, by the paper mill there, by Little Rapids Corporation. But if that dam wasn't there, I assume that they would continue on up the Wolf River. What is the situation for sturgeon above that dam? Has there ever been any conversation about extending that to allow them access above the dam? I don't really know very much about that.
Okay.
That's a good question. I guess respond to the first part of your question and answer there is about if people do have an opportunity during the third or fourth week of April to get up into the Winnebago system, particularly the Wolf River up in Shawano, and see the activities that go on there. It is, as you said, is very awesome. This year we had hundreds and hundreds of fish below that dam, and the kids just love it. Big fish get pulled out. We work on a lot of fish. So you see, 100-pounders, 150-pounders, 84-inch fish, so it's really a treat to go see that, and I encourage anybody at any one time, if it's a good Saturday, 60 degrees, there could be 1,000, 2,000 people milling about looking at this activity, so it's really a great time. As far as the second question, I don't know exactly the status of that dam. I do know that we're very happy with the spawning habitat and the availability of sturgeon and the success they've had in terms of pulling off hatches every year, even though that dam's in place. So there's a lot of habitat that they put in. There's a lot of habitat that's natural below that dam. And as I said before, we see nothing but an increasing population of sturgeon in the entire Winnebago system. So I guess I'd encourage you to contact the local fish biologist up that in the area for more specifics on that dam.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Mary and Brad, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been great.
You're welcome, awesome. And thanks for inviting us.
It's the 5th annual return of the lake sturgeon to the Milwaukee River. Happens this Saturday, again, as Mary was saying, between 11:30 and 2. And those fish were grown in the Milwaukee River Streamside Rearing Facility. You got more than 1,000 young sturgeon that'll be released into the river. Kind of to call attention to the need to replenish our state's sturgeon population, and they're certainly doing that. It's going to be fun. Some of us probably won't be around to see the final results, unfortunately. Gary Engberg has just joined me, and a fishing guide, and we'll be talking with him about fishing next. But I tell you what, you plant a small seedling tree, even though you know you may never see it get that big. Somebody else is going to enjoy it, and a lot of people are going to get a lot of enjoyment down the road out of the and benefit from what folks at the River Edge Nature Center and the Department of Natural Resources and many others have done to bring the sturgeon back to the Milwaukee River. I think it's just a great thing. So we really appreciate Mary and Brad for being with us today. And we're going to continue our discussion on, we'll maybe talk a little about sturgeon, but we're going to turn our attention to maybe walleye and some other, muskie with Gary Engberg of Mazamani Professional Fisherman and Guide. That's coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.